Greetings, everyone. This is Eric Andelin, Senior Workflow Specialist with SimActive, and you're joining us for our Pixels and Points podcast, episode number 7, Optimizing Photogrammetry in Southeast Asia. And with me, I have my guest, Mr. Hamdan Ismail, Managing Director of Skyshine Corporation, and I believe you're based in Malaysia. Is that correct?
Yeah. I'm based in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
Can you give me a little bit of your background and then some background on the company?
Good morning to everyone. I'm Hamdan Ismail from Skyshine Corporation, Malaysia, Sdn Bhd. We are based in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. The company Skyshine Corporation was in the business of geospatial GRS and remote sensing for about 22 years. We start our company in 1999. As today's, we are about 22, 23 years. And as today's, we have in-house staff for about 25 of us. That is a little bit background of our company.
Your background specifically, so okay. When you came to Skyshine?
I was the founder of the Skyshine Corporation, and we established a company in 1999.
And so do you have a background? You said you have a background in GIS, or is it survey? Or
I was a land surveyor, but also trained in the field of GIS and remote sensing.
Very good. I have a background in surveying from the Army, and then moved on to photogrammetry and where I am now at SimActive. So very interesting. We don't over here know a lot about what's going on in your part of the world. You are a partner with SimActive. I know that there's a lot of mapping GIS work going on over there. What are the typical industries or projects that you would see in your region?
Basically, we are specialized in the government project where we in the field of we are supplying this solution for the drone and the photogrammetry system to the government agencies like Surveying and Mapping Department, the city council, the local councils, agencies, urban and planning department, remote sensing, Malaysia Space Agency. We are supplying the solution for the drone and the software to help them in their mapping of their project.
Okay. It's like here in the States or in Canada, where our software is from, we end up supplying those products to the government, maybe through a contract. It could be a local or a state contract. So you guys are providing, or governments in that region.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Okay. And it's not just software, it's hardware, it's services. Is it pretty much everything?
I can say we are pretty much everything. We are supplying the hardware, the drones, the software. We also provide services, and we give training also to the universities and the agencies, the small licensed surveyors company who need the training and technology transfer, which we also provide.
Okay. Yeah. So specifically to drones, in, for example, the States, you have to get certified and approved by the FAA to fly drones. Is there any type of regulations there? Is that part of what your training is?
In Malaysia, before you fly the drone, you need to have approval. Number one is we need to submit to the geospatial unit controlled by the small military unit, which they are the first level to give approval on before you fly. Once you get approval from the geospatial section of the military, then it will go to the, what we call it, KM is the Malaysia who control the movement of the airlines, the approval of them as well, so that we are not clash with the movement of the airline. So there is to authority that we need to get the approval before we fly.
So kind of a regulatory authority to be able to fly in general, and then a specific authorization from air traffic based on
the air specific traffic, location. Yes, you are right. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Very good. Is there a trend towards multi-rotor systems or fixed-wing systems, or is it kind of a mix?
It's a mix, I can say it's a mix. For this multi-rotor is very popular. It's very popular over here. There is private agencies, they are using a lot of multi-rotor system, the enterprise level of multi-rotor system, even the government agencies also. But for the big project, for this photogrammetry mapping, most of the government agencies, even the private agencies, they are into the fixed wing system for the drones, especially on the VTOL fixed wing system.
Okay, so VTOL fixed wings are very popular there as well. Would they be using some type of survey, real-time kinetic or post-process kinetic surveying to go with that aircraft?
Basically, over here, they are using the one is the PPK method thing. The another one is a real-time kinematic method, which is using the national network for the real-time positioning system. So these two is the most popular method that been used by, I can say, all of the agencies and the private sectors. So because most of the system over here is already connected to the national network, so it been used, people start utilize it.
Okay. So a lot of what we see over here is small project mapping, maybe for land development or mining operations, a little bit of forestry. What typically would you see uses for over there?
Basically, for the drone, I can say it been used widely for the development, mapping for the development before the project start, during the project, monitoring the progress, and after completed the project. I think it's nowadays in Malaysia, most of the works have been mapped by drone to show the progress before and after,
Okay.
as well as been used widely for the forestry mapping and surveying department as well. Yeah.
Okay, so maybe the average user of, say, our software or any other through their GIS might be doing a lot of change detection between flights. What's changed? How much earth has moved? Things like that.
Yeah, that is part of the work that people they start using drone for change detection and mapping for the change detection as well. Yeah,
Okay.
even the feature extraction, they are using the mapping from the drone, then they do the feature extraction.
I would think that prior to land being cleared there, it's heavily forested in most cases.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So with that, then, do you see also drones with LiDAR?
Drone with LiDAR is start popular in the market. People start using it, drone with LiDAR. I think most of the government agency, they start purchase a drone with the LiDAR system, the forestry department, the agriculture department, surveying and mapping department, even the geospatial agencies. Many of the geospatial unit, they are start purchase, use the LiDAR system for their drones, even though the private license surveyors, they are using it for their project as well, because it fast, the speed is there. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely fast. That's for sure. Plus, it
Yeah.
gets the ground, so you can't argue with that. What about mining operations? Do they use them for mining operations there as well?
Over here, mining is very small. We don't have really a big mining operation in Malaysia. Mining is very, very small.
So I would think some of the challenges you might have over there would be mapping in terrain that changes a lot, maybe in areas where you might even be coastal near the water, things like that, where you have to deal with imagery over water and so forth.
I think the challenge over here in Malaysia is the country is not the flat country. It's a very some of the area is a very hilly area, full of mountain, and this forest over here is very heavy, dense forest. The forest is in Malaysia is very heavy, dense forest, and the tree is very high. And accessing to the survey area is very, very difficult. That is our challenge for the mapping.
And I always forget to point out to people when we talk that there's a few key points that we're going to talk about, and one of them is, and we're there now, we're talking about acquiring imagery where terrain is a factor. Another one will be where weather might be a factor, and then flight planning and also processing workflows, which is what I do at SimActive, help people out with processing workflows. But so where terrain is a factor, do you find that the mission planning or flight planning software that comes with the drones is sufficient to take care of that? So do they have terrain following capabilities? Or do you specifically, when you train people, do you train them on how they might want to set up their flight lines and things like that?
Just like we train our surveying and mapping department a few weeks back, the training area is very undulation and a hilly area. So number one is a very high risk.
Yes.
You need to plan properly your flight planning. Sometimes you cannot do one flight planning to complete all the mission, so you need to break it into
Sure.
small part to make sure that you are on the safe flight planning. So basically, we divide into a few portion of the one big area. We divide into the few portion of flight planning to make sure we are on the safe route for the every mission, especially on the hilly area and very undulation terrain. That's what we are doing, and we need to move basically from one point to another point, from one mission to another mission, because we want to have we can see our drones flying. Basically, that's why after one mission we move to another point
So
for another flight planning, because we
you have
want to
a
have a view of our drones.
right. So you have a similar requirement or at least desire to constantly have the drone in view.
Yes, correct.
Yes. So I would imagine on some of those projects, you may end up having the drone come back or landing at a certain location, changing out batteries, and then sending it back up to complete another portion of the mission.
That's what we are doing.
So then you have to take into account terrain as when you bring it back as well. So as part of your training with your people, you have an area set up that is similar to what they might experience out in the field. You probably have some control points set up in there so that you can make sure that they're collecting with the right overlap or side lap, depending on the project. So it's almost like a validation site.
Yeah, even though as today we are using the RTK or the PPK technology in mapping with the drone, we are still doing what we call it the base station for the setting up the GNSS, and we also doing what we call it the checkpoint. That is actually this GNSS point that we observe within our mapping area to make sure we are within the accuracy that the client expect.
The next thing you might have to deal with is because you're in terrain, I would imagine the conditions change a lot weather-wise, whether it's wind or fog or clouds, but I would imagine those things come into play quite a bit with what you guys are doing over there as well.
Weather is another factor as well. I think in Malaysia, just like the last 2 or 3 months, I can say raining is every day, and the raining is very uncertain, sometimes in the morning, sometimes in the afternoon. Even though the rain is a short rain, 1 or 2 hours rain, but it really need a well plan so that weather will be a problem for us. But talking about the raining also, it's come with this very windy at the site. So these two things that we really need to look into every day before the planning and during the mission as well.
So a local knowledge of the winds might dictate which direction you're going to do your flight planning in. And I would imagine that for the same reason with the rains and the uncertainty of them, and again, we have that here in Florida as well, but being in Malaysia, that probably creates more opportunity for localized drone flights than it would be for someone to come over with a large aircraft because they may never get off the ground because they can't get around the clouds and the rain.
You are right, Eric. Even this surveying and mapping department, they are moving slowly from this airborne mapping into the drones mapping. That's why I just won the tender early of this year. We are supplying to them the 5 unit of VTOL. I can say is consider is a high-end VTOL, and 3 unit of a multi-rotor drone. The enterprise level of multi-rotor drone that is slowly they want to some of the area, especially on the scale, the topographic map updating for the scale of 1 to 5,000. They are slowly move from the airborne mapping into the drone mapping.
It's hard to validate the costs of owning an aircraft and the equipment and the people sitting on the ground waiting when certainly in a lot of instances a drone could do that work and it can be there and collect it in between those weather situations or those weather elements.
One more thing, because the VTOL that we supply to them, it can perform about nearly 2 hours flight.
Very
You
good,
know,
yeah.
full battery, it can perform about 2 hours flight, and they can easily cover about 4 to 5 kilometers square per flight. So you can imagine one day if they make two fly already, they can cover such a big area.
That's a great reason for the use of drones. Is there any multispectral happening there as well?
Multispectral, yes, of course, being used by mostly by the agriculture department, and Malaysia is a very big plantation for the palm tree. They are producing palm oil, and it's been used widely in this agriculture industry.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. So in this instance, you were talking about supplying drones, fixed wings to, you know, one of the agencies was and then I would assume software as well, but and maybe even survey equipment. I'm not sure, but and as part of that, you're training them in all of these aspects, right?
Correct. We are supply the whole package from the drones to the software to the GNSS system until the hardware for processing.
Ah, very good, very good. So you guys truly are what we call here a one-stop shop.
I can say that.
Very good. Can you talk about any specific interesting projects that you guys have been involved in?
The one that we are helping this our surveying and mapping department of Malaysia, where they are doing this updating their topographic map for the scale of 1 to 5,000, whereas they are moving from the airborne mapping, they are moving toward the drone mapping by using this VTOL fixed wing drones. So we are helping JUPERM, assisting JUPERM doing the technology transfer for our surveying and mapping department of Malaysia, where we call it JUPERM in the short form, to do their mapping for the especially on the small development area. I think I can say a small city. That's what we are doing now, assisting the surveying and mapping department of Malaysia to perform their data capture by using drone, and assisting them in the processing until the to pro produce the end result, orthophoto mosaic.
So this would be constantly updating things as they change throughout Malaysia.
They are doing the updating for every 5 years, their maps. The topographic maps, they are doing updating every 5 years. So they need to fly almost every day to map the certain area, whereas there's a lot of development that's going on there. And then they update their topographic maps. That is number one. Number two, we are assisting them as well and doing the technology transfer to surveying and mapping department by doing this LiDAR. Multi-rotor system, they are using the LiDAR mapping. That is more toward this mapping of the hazard. You know, recently we have a lot of landslide happening in Malaysia, and we are helping the surveying and mapping department mapping the landslide and hazard, what we call it, hazard mapping in Malaysia.
That's people don't realize how good drones are for those type of needs. For example, we just had Hurricane Ian here, and some of the first imagery we've seen from the damaged areas is from drones. So they can really get on site and map a small area really quickly, which in some cases is very, very important if you're trying to open a roadway or something like that, where you've had a landslide or you've had a bridge washout. You can get a lot of great detailed information from drones that you may not be able to get from aircraft.
Yeah, of course.
And even maybe more so with LiDAR, especially if you're dealing, again, like you said, landslides and vegetation, things that come over the surface, that it would be helpful to have a LiDAR. So I can understand why the multi-rotors are pretty important there.
They are using widely now, heavily used in Malaysia for the hazard mapping, the LiDAR system.
Yeah, that's really good information. I can hardly imagine how much data you're going to capture or they're going to capture and process. That's a big, ambitious project.
Just for your information, currently we are doing mapping for this Kuala Lumpur City Council to map landslide area or their hilly area. There are about 330 hilly area where we can say it's very dangerous and unsafe area. Where we do mapping for Kuala Lumpur City Council for this 330 spot, and each spot is quite big.
And I would imagine there's probably some archaeological work going on with the LiDAR as well.
The museum department, they are using LiDAR as well for their archaeological work. They are using, even though they are using the multi-rotor drone for their mapping.
Have you provided systems that carry both sensors, the RGB and the LiDAR?
Most of the system that we supply to drainage irrigation department, surveying and mapping department, Malaysia remote sensing agencies, or Malaysia space agencies, most come with nowadays most come with a LiDAR as well as this camera, RGB camera.
So are you starting to see medium format cameras or say cameras above 50 megapixels in some of these systems?
They start using from 42 megapixel. Nowadays they are using 61 megapixel camera already.
So it really sounds like from a end user, your customer's perspective, even using software like SimActive, they could pretty much use all of the tools within SimActive if they wanted to process out orthophotos, mosaics, colorized point clouds, all of those things.
Just take example for this surveying and mapping department in Malaysia. They are nowadays they are using the 42 megapixel camera, and they even have this 100 megapixel camera, and all being processed by this correlator 3D without problem.
Do you see them colorizing point clouds? Yeah, that seems to be real popular here, at least in the last year or so, as the larger cameras have been put together with the LiDAR systems. I really appreciate time. I know it's a bit early there. It's a bit late here as we're talking across the world, but I do appreciate your time. Thank you for joining us. Do you have any closing comments? Anything you'd like to say?
Okay, thank you, Eric, for giving me an opportunity to talk over this program. I think the drones technology is very well accepted over here in Malaysia, especially for the RGB camera, as and nowadays with the LiDAR system being used widely for the drone. And I think this correlator 3D is playing an their role and being used widely in Malaysia. People really like it. Just what we supply recently, 15 units to surveying and mapping department of Malaysia, and the comment is very positive.
Very
The
good.
end product is very good, and the processing is very fast compared to their previous software.
Oh, very good. Well, it sounds like Malaysia's farther ahead in the actual acceptance and use of drones throughout the government than actually we are. So that's good to hear. Obviously, we cover much more terrain here in the U.S. and in Canada, but it is good to see the practical application of drones being used not only in the private sector, but also through government work as well. Once again, I'd like to thank our listeners. This podcast came from a webinar, and we are going to move into a visual portion of that webinar. If you would like to follow along, please go to simactive.com. Under our knowledge base, you can download that webinar. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share on social media. Once again, thanks for joining us. Until next time.